If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us today are a pair of doctors. Our first doctor is the founder and CEO of the HOPE Initiative, Dr. Robert Harper. It's a nonprofit with a mission of providing access to educational and workforce opportunities for individuals living in under-resourced communities. Dr. Harper, how you been?
I am doing fantastic, Chris. Thank you so much for having me on today.
I'm so glad to have you back. We haven't had you on in a couple of years, and we got a tremendous response by you being on because a lot of people were not aware about the HOPE Initiative and how things have been taken off. And your website is absolutely amazing. The nonprofit thing is just really kicking in well. So I'm curious, tell people where you are right now with the HOPE Initiative and basically the objective for those who don't know.
Yes. So, Chris, thank you for this opportunity. The HOPE Initiative is it's actually an acronym that stands for Helping Others Prioritize Education.
Nice.
And so that's what we do. We work with students from middle school to high school to college, and college to careers. So we provide like a wraparound services for those students. So with middle school students, we help them with self-discovery. You know how it is, Chris. You get into middle school and you're starting to get some hair on your chest, right? And
right.
You start thinking you're grown and you're
trying
growing
to figure
up
their,
a little
Yeah,
bit.
They're trying to figure out their place, what their role is. They don't want to be a kid no more.
That's right, right. And so we help with that self-discovery. So we take these students starting in sixth grade through like a series of assessments and helping them identify their strengths, their learning styles, their personality type, and then what career cluster that's a good fit for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so why is important to start in sixth grade? Because when they transition to eighth grade, and when they finish their eighth grade year going into high school, the state of Texas requires these students to declare what type of career they want to have once they leave high school, right? And mm-hmm. So think about this. Let's go back when we were in the eighth grade. Chris, I didn't have a clue what I wanted to do.
I hear you. Yeah.
Did you?
Eighth grade? No, not really.
Right.
And, I was just trying to get on the basketball team or something, you know?
Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah. So, but what we do through our assessments, we help these kids identify their top four career clusters, and then that helps them make a decision on what career pathway they want to have. And then those high school counselors take the information that we walk the students through and then help them make an informed decision on which degree plan they're going to pursue when they get in high school to set them up for a career in life after high school. So that's kind of what we do. We're very intentional in what we do, and we make it fun. I call it edutaining. So
right.
We do some educating and entertaining all at the same time.
Especially for that age group, because you want to keep their attention and you want to make it so there's something to look forward to as opposed to something that they have to do.
Absolutely. Yes. And so our environment, we create a safe space for these students. We like to have fun. And then we like to reward students, too, which is going to transition me into another thing that I want to tell you. There's some great news that happened since the last time we talked, man.
Okay.
You ready for it?
Yeah, I'm sitting down.
All right. So the last time we talked, man, thank you so much. We got a lot of feedback and a lot of people reached out to us. And one of the people that we got connected with was the National Retired Players Association, Basketball Players Association, the NBRPA.
Yes.
We actually signed a memorandum of understanding with the NBRPA Dallas chapter.
That's fantastic, with Mr. Willie Davis.
With Mr. Willie Davis, yes, sir. And so we actually had a signing ceremony that took place at the Mavericks at the headquarters there.
Okay.
And man, that was a great, man, awesome facility.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, this led us to connecting with the Parks and Recs. We did a presentation for all of the Parks and Recs in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
And man, that led to us getting memorandums of understanding with four Parks and Recs.
That is fantastic. So you got locations where you can reach out to the kids and where they can get educated in an environment where they're having fun.
And then the cherry on top is once they go through our workshop, mm-hmm. they get a chance to go through a basketball camp with veteran NBA players.
Yes, sir.
So that's kind of like Mr. Davis will say, that's our little hook, right?
Right.
So we get them.
That's right.
They go through the education component, and then at the end, we reward them with a basketball camp. And man, we've had Derek Harper to participate in a camp. Marlon Wiley,
mm-hmm.
Chris Owens,
yes,
Stephen Howard. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we having all of these guys, and man, everybody in there is 6'5" and up, right? And so all the kids looking up to him, and Marlon doing tricks, taking them through drills. We had Ira Turrell; he came and participated. Mm-hmm. So it's been a great experience, and man, just by me being on your show the last time, all of that has was a result of your listeners and people just tapping in, man, want to have maximum impact in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Fantastic. The HOPE Initiative, by the way, is a 501c3 nonprofit organization providing a unique system of support and partnerships to carry the mission to provide equal access to educational and workforce opportunities for individuals living in under-resourced communities. And like I said, with the mission in place and the fact that the growth is there, there's nothing but upside, right? I mean, this is a win-win for all people involved.
Absolutely, man. And you know, we've been seeing the impact of the work that we've been doing with these kids. You know, when a kid go through our program, our workshop, we make sure they have something tangible, like a takeaway.
Right.
And so we have this one page, we call it a self-discovery report, where all of those assessments that they take, we have that, and it allows them to share that with their teachers, with their parents. And as a result of that, we've been seeing an increase in these students' grades just because they know how they learn best and they share that with their teachers. So we've been helping these kids and having an impact in the classroom as well. So once we call it the gift that keeps on giving.
Mm-hmm.
Once we provide a workshop with a student, we have an impact with that student, and we try to change that student life. And then we give them strategies that they can continue to use once they leave our workshop.
Exactly. It gives them opportunities that they never thought they had. But not only that, it helps them have a purpose driven life. Because, again, you don't want, you know, kids in your family to have nothing to look forward to or have nothing to do. And in this day and age of different kinds of families. In other words, you might have families with only a single parent household. You may have families that are, you know, split, you know, where parents are in different parts or they're divorced, or you have stepkids and kids together. I mean, there's so many different ways that families are families nowadays, let alone kids that kind of grew up together. They might as well be cousins. So it kind of helps when you have this service that's provided, because let's say a parent or the parents are working and they can't keep up with their kids the way they want to.
Absolutely, Chris. I mean, you hit it right on the head, man. And, you know, from our workshops, we've had parents to circle back and say, thank you. I've seen a different side of my child.
Mm-hmm.
Since they left your workshop, because we want to open them up, you know, get them out of their comfort zone. I mean, we create a safe space at our workshops, and we don't allow nobody to make fun of anybody in our workshops, right? Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes these students are afraid to speak in front of their peers. Well, we kind of remove that fear from those students, and we got this thing called Think, Pair, Share, where we group the kids up based on their results. They thinking about and coming up with little ideas of how they use their strengths, for example. And then they will come and share it with the whole group. And so they feel comfortable knowing that they have an elbow partner right there by their side. Mm-hmm. And then we have adults, we call them like mentors, mm-hmm. volunteers. They are in the room and supporting them. And so, Chris, just like when, let's say, what's the kid name? Cooper Flagg coming to town.
Right. 18-year-old Cooper Flagg. Yep.
right. When he hits a three-pointer or he get a dunk, what the crowd gonna do at the AAC? They gonna go crazy, right?
Yes.
Well, we try to create that same environment, man. When a kid gets up and we like, say it with your chest. What's your name?
Mm-hmm.
We call it stand and deliver.
Right.
And
be man, proud.
Be proud, right? And when they give us their results, man, we cheer as if they made a slam dunk. You know what
That's
I mean?
Fantastic.
So
yes.
We encourage everybody to cheer them up, man. And it just lift the spirits. And those kids are coming out of their shells. And we're hearing back from the parents now, like, man, I'm seeing a different side of my kid. And
mm-hmm.
they're very appreciative of that, man. And I got a great team that I work with, man. I can't take all the credit. I got some awesome team members, man. And that's the kind of spirit and vibe that we have at our workshops.
I love what you're doing, because in this day and age, seriously, kids have access to social media. They get bullied sometimes, or they don't have their social skills up to speed with some other kids who may be doing more. And I'm talking about in their same neighborhood. So therefore, they feel a little timid or intimidated, which is part of, you know, taking care of your mental wellness as well. So what you're doing is taking care of the mental wellness, the strategically, you know, getting them involved in educational and career opportunities that they never even imagined. And you're providing opportunities. In other words, providing opportunities for them to do more than just sit at home and play on their tablet.
You're absolutely correct, Chris. And I'm glad you brought that up. You know, with our partnership with the NBRPA,
mm-hmm.
we have a component, we call it work base experience. And from that, we are exposing these students to career opportunities in business and industry based on something they are interested in. So when they go through this assessment, it gives them their top four career cluster or pathways.
Mm-hmm.
And through our relationship with NBRPA, they have professionals in their network that's giving these kids opportunities of internships, job shadowing experiences, apprenticeships, things of that nature, right? So now these kids are actually having a front row seat to seeing what it takes in this career field and, you know, what a professional go through in a day-to-day operations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this has been great. And then all of the great work and data that we've collected, we've actually submitted a grant to the National Basketball Association.
Yes.
Foundation.
The foundation. They do lots of grants all over the country.
Absolutely. And guess what, man? We got awarded one of those grants.
Look out. Congratulations.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, man, we got that grant, and that allowed us to work with more students. And we never pass the cost of our work off on a student mm-hmm. or a family. We always get donations or grants or something like that, you know, to kind of offset the cost. Because, like you said earlier, we have some kids that come from less fortunate situations, and they may be from a single parent household and they can't afford these services, but that don't mean they shouldn't have access to them. So we create ways and just kind of get creative in using grants and getting donations to support these students and to make sure these students have access to the support that we provide.
We're talking with Dr. Robert Harper. He is the founder and president of the HOPE Initiative, 501c3, a nonprofit. And you can tell by just the way you talk that you're an educator. So let me tell some people, let me tell the listeners about you a little bit, because a lot of people don't like to talk about themselves. They just like to talk about the work that they do. You are, like I said, an educator for years and years and years, 15 years in higher education. You served as executive dean of student engagement and retention at Eastfield College. You were assistant to the vice president for academic affairs at Texas College, the associate vice president for student affairs, and the director of enrollment management at Jarvis Christian College. And at Northeast Texas Community College, you served as the Director of Student Development and Diversity, Director of Institutional Effectiveness, and Coordinator of Instructional Technology. In other words, You are well versed. You know what you're talking about, and you know what makes students or kids who want to be educated think.
That is correct, Chris, and I take it a step further. So I got a doctorate degree, and I got it from Grambling State University.
Look out.
And my yes, sir. And my dissertation was centered around students who are leaving high school deemed not college ready, mm-hmm. and they have to go in and take these developmental education courses to get them prepared for, like, you know, college English or mm-hmm. college math. And so I specialize with those kids, right? So I understand how to take a kid from where they are, even if, and I say I work with pre-med, co-eds, and knuckleheads, right? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't
Keeping
matter
it
where they are.
Keeping it real.
Yes, sir. It doesn't matter where they are in their academic journey. I can take that kid and put a plan together and get them on a track where they can be productive citizens where they live, work, and learn. And so that's my passion. That's what I do. And through this nonprofit, it opened up a door for me to work with students all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
When I was working at the university, I was limited to the only working with the students who enrolled and showed up on campus. But now, Chris, with the HOPE Initiative, I can work with students from any capacity across the country, right? And mm-hmm. so it's just opened up a lot more doors. And, man, we've been serving roughly right at 1,000 students a year that we service. So, yes, sir. So, man, it's been fun. I love to see the light go off in these kids, man. And I just enjoy it, man. This is my passion. I said this is a calling and not a career.
Exactly. And you know what? That's what difference makers feel. They feel like, okay, it's not how much money I make. It's about I love what I'm doing and I can do this nonstop. I can, some hours it'd be long hours, but I don't care. Some hours might be shorter hours. The flexibility is there because I love what I do. It's not just a 9-to-5. I'm not working just for the money. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I love the way, I love it when people find their purpose. So with that being said, I've also said this about small business owners and people who start nonprofits. You are some courageous people because it is not easy to do. And there's a great risk involved because what if it does not succeed? And a lot of people have a fear of failure, whereas other people say, you know what? I'm going to learn from the mistakes and I won't let it stop me. Tell everybody, what made you feel like, okay, I think I can take a chance and start a nonprofit? Tell us what you were thinking, because a lot of people listening might learn some things.
Absolutely, Chris. So, like I said, this is a calling and not a career for me, right? So I knew it was something inside of me that was saying, hey, you need to be working with students from, you know, middle school through college, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
not just the kids on campus.
17, I want to say, not just the kids on campus, right? So in about 2017, I just started. I said, I had a vision, man, and I said, this is what I want to do. And it kind of been in my mind. I've been going back and forth with, you know, wrestling with the mm-hmm. idea, and then I just took a leap of faith. And so around started this thought process around 2017. Well, 2019, I said, you know what? I'm going to step out on faith. And in August of 2019, I started the nonprofit. Well, Chris, what happened in January, February, that spring? COVID hit, right?
Right.
But I had a platform where I was working with online and doing stuff on Zoom and all of that. Well, mm-hmm. I actually, Chris, had the best year in 2020 because of all of the programming that I had in place ready to go that was virtual programming.
Look out.
So I started connecting with a lot of people that I met through mm-hmm. higher education. And this is what I would tell any listener you have that's interested in starting. Think about your network and who can control and who has control over budgets at their current employment. So that's what I did. I had relationships with different administrators on college campuses,
mm-hmm.
and they were over programs like TRIO and Upward Bound and those types of programs, right? And so got connected with them, and they just wrote me in their budget.
Excellent.
And so things just started taking off, man, and that's kind of how I'm here today because of relationships that I have. And, of course, you're going to have some ups and downs. But I'll tell you what, Chris, I've had more ups and downs, and the downs that I have, I always reflect on think about that smile you put on a family's face because you helped their kid.
Mm-hmm.
Or think about the difference that you made in their kid and their grades are increasing. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of helped me get through the downtime.
Exactly. You're rewarded with the empathetic work that you do and the fact that people are able to get ahead. I always say this about teachers when I go speak at the different schools. When I'm talking to school kids, you know, I may be doing one of those career days at a school. I'm always telling them the teachers aren't doing this for the money. They are rewarded by you guys getting great grades or coming back years later and say, you know what? You taught me everything I needed to know about science, or you got me interested in history. The educators, you know, there's no value. I mean, they're all underpaid. I mean, there's not mm-hmm. enough money for what they do, but they do it from their heart. And that's the difference. True. They're not just there because they ain't got nothing else to do. They're there because guess what? They enjoy watching kids learn. And I think you're right there in that spot too. And you mentioned how you were fortunate enough to be aware in your networking relationships of people who were in charge of budgets or in the budget departments for these various schools. In this particular year, a lot of nonprofits are being kind of careful because some of their benefactors or their donors, they're being careful with their money, or maybe some of the grants may not be there like they used to be before. They're being downsized, or, you know, there's been cuts in government funding. Can you talk about how you've been able to navigate that, or some of the concerns that you personally have to go through because of this? Because this is for real. I mean, a lot of different people are now saying, wait a minute, we don't have those same opportunities anymore because budgets have been cut, or, you know, inflation went up, or we don't know what the economic future is going to look like immediately. It's kind of unstable. Things are changing right now.
Absolutely, Chris. You bring up a good point. I give you a story. Just last week, I had conversations with some school districts that I have contracts with,
mm-hmm.
and they informed me this year that they were not going to be able to move forward because they had to do some budget cuts. In fact, I believe Fort Worth ISD had to cut over $9 million of loss, you know, like federal funding. It could uh-huh. be more than that, mm-hmm. but that was last time I checked, that was the number. So I've lost some contracts, but guess what? I was able to get blessed with a grant through Fort Worth Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called a CCPD grant. It's Crime Control and Prevention mm-hmm. District through Fort Worth Police Department. And so now what I'm doing, I pivot and I'm taking my self-discovery and the education component that I have, and I'm tying this to some of the initiatives at the police department to help
to
reduce youth crime mm-hmm. and juvenile crime and also increase safety of youth. So now I'm roping in police officers to be part of my programming. And
it's win-win.
Absolutely. Right. So you have to be nimble in this environment and flexible, and you got to be able to connect what you're doing. And how can you support an initiative of another organization, kind of like the police department? So mm-hmm. I'm going to still be working through community centers because they are on, you know, through the city. And so then I'm just going to keep what I'm doing. But I'm rolling. The police is going to be involved in what I'm doing now. So I was able to get some grant money for the next 3 years to provide programming for high school students. So if you, any of your listeners in the Fort Worth area, and they have kids that they want to get access to this programming,
mm-hmm.
they can get it for free. They just got to come to the rec center or the community center to get it.
This is like I said, it's a win-win for everybody because the community centers get an opportunity to have different kids there and parents there, and also the safety. They may have concerns there. Well, guess what? There may be police officers here and there, and the police officers actually are rewarded because they get to know the community that they're serving and protecting. And the people in that community, they can develop those relationships with the police departments there, and everybody wins. Nobody, you know, there's never going to be a perfect situation, but it's always going to get better if everybody kind of knows each other and you build that network of community.
That's correct. And so, you know, my motto is the more education a person have, the least likely they will commit a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if we're given opportunities for police officers to build relationships with these young people,
exactly,
and they can see beyond that badge, and they can get a chance to see this officer as a human being,
mm-hmm,
we are now increasing and building the community police relations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're enhancing youth officer interactions. And so now it's not a now it becomes a non-enforcement engagement instead of, you know, only time a kid to see a police officer is somebody getting arrested or pulled over.
Right.
And so we're changing that dynamic. And we're also helping these kids find employment opportunities, internships, and then we're preparing them to go either to college or go into the workforce. And so that's kind of the scope of what we're going to be doing. And we were blessed to get this. It was approved by the city council about 3 weeks ago, man.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so that we've been elated to have this opportunity to continue this work in Fort Worth.
You know what? This is just a great, great opportunity again, and great information for those who don't know about the HOPE initiative. You got some core values as well. Commitment to commitment to continuous improvement, power of partnership, and spirit of achievement. Let's talk a little bit about the power of partnership, because you're talking about these things happening right now. Of course, you have to be in position, you know, for them to recognize and say, you know what? I want to partner with the HOPE initiative. So in other words, if anyone's listening and they have their own nonprofit, or they're thinking about how can I volunteer and be a part of, you know, if you have your own nonprofit, you got to make sure you get a 501c3 first of all, because there's mm-hmm. steps to this. You might have a great idea. You might have the biggest heart in the world, but you got to make sure you have these steps in place so that people will want to partner with you, right?
That is correct. Right. So that's the first step. Make sure that you're a 501c3 federally recognized organization, mm-hmm. a nonprofit organization. And then that's when the work begins. You have to get out and meet people. There
yes.
are community meetings that I would recommend that you go to. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of them, I'll give you an example. And I want to tie this into how I got position for the funding through
sure.
the city of Fort Worth,
sure.
right? I started, I do some partnerships with some former NFL players, and we do like football camps.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started this program, and I got connected with Fort Worth Police Department. And the reason I got that connection through the former NFL player that I worked with.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started doing programming with football. We do football camps and things of that nature. And that was kind of my introduction to the police department. Well, about a year and a half after we had doing those football camps, one of the police officers came to me and said, "Hey, man, we lost one of our 501c3 partners."
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, "Would you be willing to partner with us and help us with our Shop with a Cop event?"
Mm-hmm.
And so every Christmas time, the HOPE initiative collects the donations, and then all the donations we collect for this Shop with a Cop experience, we give each kid a $100 gift card. And
nice.
We pair them with a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Chris, I've done this for like the last 4 years, I want to say, doing this. And so that allowed me and the programming and the things that I've been doing with the police department, that allowed me to have that relationship with
That's
them.
It. It's so relationships.
It's relationships, yes. And so when this grant opportunity came, I was encouraged to apply.
Mm-hmm.
And so I applied, and I was fortunate to be one of the people, organizations to get funded from the CCPD grant.
That is fantastic. And again, that's just another way that, you know, a nonprofit, a smaller one, that's how you can get started. It's all about networking. When they say networking, it's literally doing what you do best, but letting people who may not know your work be aware of your work. And then they can invest in you. Then they can spend time with you and say, you know what? This person or this organization, they're doing it the right way, or we want to be able to help them some kind of way. You know, in September, was it North Texas Day of Giving? I'm wondering if you're doing anything with that, because that's when a lot of different nonprofits, large and small, they make sure that different people are recognized or different organizations are recognized. And a lot of donors and, you know, people who want to give, they give back or they give to those different community groups. Are you involved with that? Are you aware of that? Are you have any plans about that?
Absolutely. In fact, I got an email the other week talking about North Texas, just kind of informing us on, you know, the giving day and all of that. Right. So, again, we participate in that and we push it out to people in our network, on our social media platforms, and just giving people an opportunity to donate. We like to have a thing where we talk about sponsoring a kid. And so I'm glad you brought that up, Chris, because on Tuesday, July the 22nd at 6:30 p.m., we're doing a virtual session about the HOPE Initiative and our program that we're rolling out for the 25-26 school year. And so I would love to invite your listeners to join us via Zoom on July the 22nd. And the way they can contact us to get access, just very simple. Just send us a text message at area code 214-259-6060.
One more time.
214-259-6060. And just say, hey, I heard about the, I want to participate in the virtual info session about the HOPE Initiative, and say Chris sent me.
Yeah, I'll vouch for you. One other thing is that phone number on your website, because we want everybody to know where they can find out more information about the HOPE Initiative.
It is. It's on our website, and our website is the-HOPE-initiative.org.
Don't forget those dashes.
Yes, don't forget the dashes, because you won't get there if you don't.
I got an even easier way. Seriously. Mm-hmm. Anybody go on Google, just type in the HOPE Initiative.org and then watch it show up and you just click that link.
That's it. That's it. So look for the word HOPE in capital letters with a little a student with a graduation cap on.
Yeah, I see that. That's your logo.
That's it. Yes, sir.
That is fantastic. He is Dr. Robert Harper, and the HOPE Initiative is one of these outstanding nonprofits that are getting things done here in North Texas. Is there anything else you want to leave everybody with? You mentioned the event coming up on Tuesday. Is there anything else coming up that you want people to know, or how they can also volunteer if you need more volunteers?
Absolutely. We're putting together a football camp on August the 2nd at Faraday Field there in Fort Worth. I don't have that address with me right now, Chris.
They know Faraday Field. People in Fort Worth, they can find it. Google it up.
Yes, Faraday Field from 8 to noon for any age students can come out. We're doing that on August the 2nd. That's a Saturday. We're doing that. And then, man, I would just love for everybody to go follow us on Instagram or all of our social media platforms. And everything is at Your HOPE Initiative. That's Y-O-U-R HOPE Initiative, at Your HOPE Initiative. Because, Chris, a nonprofit is not, it doesn't belong to me.
Right.
It belongs to the people, right? And so that's why we say at Your HOPE Initiative. It's Your HOPE Initiative. And that's how they can reach us on all social media platforms.
Well, Robert, it's always a pleasure talking to you. I bump into you here and there on these different event things that I'll be at. And I want to say, we got to get you on the show a little bit more quicker, because what you're doing is great and people need to know more and more about it. Appreciate you, Robert.
All right, Chris. And always remember, it's three things you can do with education: choose, lose, or be confused.
Look out. I love it. Thanks, Robert.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Our next guest is Dr. Anoop Sharma. He is with United Healthcare, and we're talking about men's prostate cancer. A little bit about Dr. Sharma. He is the chief medical officer of United Healthcare Medicare and Retirement. And we're talking about men's prostate cancer, and we're going to talk about it because a lot of men, they have a fear of going to the doctor. some of them just don't feel like they need to go because they want to power through whatever. It could be just a cough. So, Dr. Sharma, I'm so glad you could join us. Thanks for being here with us.
Well, thank you for having me. And I really appreciate the shout out for men not wanting to go to doctors.
Yes, that's part of the hurdle, so to speak. And again, it's not just prostate cancer necessarily. It's just there's a lot of guys. I don't know if they feel like if it's a sign of weakness or they just don't have time. They're too busy or they think it's something they can just, you know, put some dirt on and it'll work out all right. How do you kind of overcome those stereotypes?
Many times we have to remind, you know, men that they're not invincible. And as the world that we live in is always the world of let's prevent it. That's the real win versus when things get bad, that's when they want to come in. So ideally for them, the best way to remind them is, hey, let's do this the right way, which is early, and avoid all the bad stuff that you really fear.
Yes. You know? Step up and do it ahead of time. Like you said, in today's world with technology, it's like being efficient. If you want to be efficient, be ahead of it, right?
Yes. And, ideally, what we want to make sure our patients and men in general understand is, you know, they fear being diagnosed with things,
mm-hmm.
but ideally, we want to diagnose you with something that's more benign than the stroke or the heart attack. That's what occurs later if you don't control the stuff in the front end.
Exactly.
So that's the win.
Exactly. And like I said, this is... it's almost completely opposite with women. Women are really proactive about taking care of their health. Can you talk about some of the difference between men and women and how they're a little bit more proactive, but also how maybe if men will look at it like, okay, if you don't want to be a burden to your family, you need to get ahead of some things.
Absolutely. And, you know, many times the one person that brings men in is actually their spouse,
mm-hmm.
or their significant other, because many times I've seen my patients in my clinic and I would literally ask them, so what brings you in? And a polite way to say, my wife.
Yep.
And so many times because a wife or spouse or a significant other really care about the longevity of that relationship, they want to stay together and grow old together, they bring their partners in. For men, if left to their own devices, they only come in when they're really sick. But women believe in health maintenance, they believe in, or actually are very much entrenched in taking care of themselves a bit more than men. So it's an odd thing to say. Women do take care of themselves a little better because of it. And it's they listen to doctors more, you could say.
Exactly. Does it help that these days a lot of men are into health and fitness and they want to be the best that they can be? Does that kind of help kind of get guys to check and do checkups and make sure that they're in tip-top shape some kind of way, you know, mentally, physically, the whole nine yards? Does that kind of help? Have you noticed some changes over maybe the last 10 years?
So a couple items are occurring for a lot of men where it used to be the fact that, you know, behavioral health or their mental health was not really looked at the same way. There's a
mm-hmm.
stigma.
Yeah.
More and more men are understanding the impact of their mental health and how it can really impact their physical health. There have been studies that show that, you know, even hardening of the arteries where you can get heart attacks and strokes is related to the amount of stress and other things that are going through your body. So it lends well for men to understand their holistic health is important and going to a physician or a healthcare provider is going to help curtail many of the negative effects that they're really worried about. So it's been a better view and more men are aware of, to be honest, looking good. So they want to come in and say, okay, what can I do better? Nutrition has taken on a different meaning. So you can't always rely on, you know, what your, how should we say, your friend at the gym tells you.
Yeah.
Ask sometimes
mm-hmm.
Really the best way for me to get better at what I'm doing.
I love the way you're speaking. We're talking with Dr. Anoop Sharma. He's the chief medical officer with United Healthcare, Medicare and Retirement. And in particular, we're getting to the subject of men's prostate cancer awareness. And the reason we're bringing this up is because it is summertime and a lot of people need to do a mid-year checkup. Can you talk about why those are so important, especially for guys who are a little older?
So as we age, There are things that are happening to our body that we may not always recognize. Everyone talks about blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid, and there's other things that are occurring in our body. For most men, they don't recognize that they may be getting high blood pressure. As we age, the easiest way that, even myself, I recognize that I think my health is changing is when my arms were no longer long enough to read articles and newspapers. Because that's when you realize, okay, something's
Yeah,
changing.
I got it. I got the joke that you're exactly right. Just like, wait a
That's when you
minute.
get your eye exams also, because that's what's also needed as part of your health maintenance. So getting checked, being checked for diabetes, actually getting your dental visit, really important, and your eye exam, because that's ideally what you want to do. And remember, when it comes to the eyes, that is, really a good way to even check if you have blood pressure. That's the first sign. So an ophthalmologist or optometrist can really tell if you have blood pressure, your blood pressure is up or not. So it's a great way to do that too.
Dr. Sharma, I feel like you're talking to me because my kids make fun of the size of my text on my phone.
Yes, same here. So, sometimes that's who's guiding us also to, in a polite way, to say, okay, go get your eyes examined because we know you can't see it or read it. And that also can be a nudge in the right direction.
Like along those same lines again. Mid-year checkups are important, and you mentioned all the different things. What about kidneys as well? Because a lot of people, guys, they say, well, okay, Mike, I don't want to have kidney disease. And you mentioned the other things you got to be proactive about.
So when you go see your doctor, or your nurse practitioner, or your clinician really is, they actually will check and do blood work for you. So some of that blood work will check your kidneys, your liver, and even your hemoglobin to see what kind of blood count you have. Many times, the most common reason for people to get kidney disease, or everyone fears dialysis and end-stage renal disease, the number one cause are really high blood pressure and diabetes. Those two culprits. So controlling those two, we can probably end, majority of the dialysis in the US.
So it's like I said, just be prepared to like get a blood test. And what other things should patients do to prepare for a productive doctor's visit? In other words, you want to make sure, okay, if I'm here at the doctor's office anyway, what are some of the things I want to be prepared for and make sure that they check on?
So what I tell my patients is always, if you are thinking about something that you need to ask me the next time, write it down. Also, sometimes we don't always communicate well as men. If your spouse or significant other has a question for me, write it down so I can answer it for them and not have you leave the office without your questions being answered. Because I consider these mid-year check-ins as an opportunity for us to have a conversation and to make sure I'm efficient with your time as a patient, because it's both our times are valuable. And if you're not getting what you need from that office visit, then that's a missed opportunity. So writing it down is important. Also, writing down your medication list if you're on anything. And also writing down if you're on supplements or herbal agents. You'd be amazed how many times my patients are taking other medications, but they don't remember to tell me, or they just didn't think it was relevant, and it can make a huge difference in what I get to do.
You know
So,
what? That's very, very important because a lot of guys, over the age of 40, they do take supplements. They take different things. We're talking about health and wellness, mental wellness, but physically being fit and trying to maintain some kind of fitness. Guys will take supplements. We're not talking about illegal supplements. We're talking about certain vitamins, or they'll read something online like this is something that you should take to help you sleep better, melatonin or even magnesium. Make sure that the doctor knows the list of supplements. In other words, go to the medical cabinet that you got and just write those things down or put them on your tablet and make them available to you so you can kind of help diagnose what this guy's doing.
absolutely. So, if you're not, sometimes you don't want to write it down, just throw them in a bag and bring them. Just
Yeah,
make
there you go. It's like, okay, I'm taking these right here, right here. Because again, I think everybody's look, especially guys, everybody's looking for an edge or trying to maintain whatever they used to do or keep doing it the same way. And again, they see the commercials on TV and they're taking all these different things. And again, they're all legal. It's not like, you know, you have to have a doctor's prescription for some. You go to the, you know, the vitamin store and you can and pick up some of these things. But if the doctor that you're going to see doesn't know that you're using all these things, they can't diagnose properly what your results are. Am I saying that right?
Absolutely. And I'll give you a story.
Yeah.
I had a patient that, you know, we were talking about kidney problems. Our patient was taking some supplements, you know, like creatine.
Yep. Which is not illegal.
Exactly. And all of a sudden I'm doing some blood work and I see the blood work shows his creatinine being higher.
Mm-hmm.
That's a normal blood value that I use to see what the function of the kidney was. So all of a sudden I'm wondering why a young guy is going into kidney failure. So we had to have a conversation that you may want to ease off and, you know, and eventually we figured out that he was taking it because he forgot to tell me. And then said, hold on, we've got to stop the medication. We'll stop this treatment that you're doing for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And let me test your blood work again, because otherwise I was about to have him go to a kidney specialist. They could wind up with biopsies of his kidney, all this stuff, because he forgot to tell me that he was taking a supplement.
Yeah. And like I said, the supplement raise those levels, and it's like you had no idea. You thought, wait a minute, for his age, this shouldn't be this way.
Exactly. And supplements and other, you know, the herbal agents have interactions that we don't always know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Another example where a patient came in and all of a sudden they had no immune system. Basically, all their white blood cells were gone.
Oh,
and we're looking at what's causing this, right? So, and we just basically looked at their meds. There was nothing there. And all of a sudden, we just started giving medications to help bring up their immune system, to really force the immune system to work better. And then we're, you know, still puzzled of why this was occurring. And then later the daughter said, oh, she's feeling better. Let me bring her supplements or herbal agents back in. And that's what we discovered. That's what she was taking that was really suppressing or pushing down her immune system. And we said, no, you can't give that anymore. That's what pretty much caused it, because that was the only one thing she was taking. So it's, you know, sometimes we just don't know to ask, sometimes we don't know to share.
Well, but like you said, well, like you said, the best way, either write them down or bring them with you, and that way everybody's on the same page and you can make a correct diagnosis and make sure that everybody is on the right page and getting things done. Again, we're talking with Dr. Anoop Sharma. He's the chief medical officer with United Healthcare, Medicare, and Retirement. And we're getting closer and closer to talking about prostate health. Why is prostate health such a critical issue for older men?
So as we age, our prostates do get a little bigger, and we sometimes wind up with, problems of urinating or peeing.
Mm-hmm.
Prostates are, of course, involved in some of our sexual health, too. The challenge with prostate cancer and prostate screenings is it's silent. We don't always have the same symptomology
mm-hmm.
of something occurring until it's a little late. So that's why we have to do screenings for prostate cancer and to detect it. It's actually the, you know, one of the more common challenges that we have. 1 in 9 men will be diagnosed in their lifetime. And it's the second most common kind of cancer in men, colon cancer, of course, being at the top. But, you know, as we age above 50, that's when we start getting screened. And I know we talked about men and not wanting to come in to see doctors. One of the main reasons, you know, we always joke about it, patients getting the digital exam, believe it or not, that's gone out of favor for a lot of our clinicians.
Yeah, there's different ways to do this now.
Yes. Because we can only feel part of the prostate. So imagine it's the prostate is like an apple, where when we do a digital exam, that's the finger in the bottom end, we're only feeling about a quarter of the prostate. But if we feel something, that's when, you know, we do have to do other testing to make sure it's not something of an aggressive cancer or something else.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, right now that's been always the, you know, fear for many men to have those things done to them. But it's not in favor. So having a blood test is where we're more commonly going to be testing with.
You know what? Let's say that again for those who say, wait a minute, what did he just say? Did he say just a blood test?
Correct. So we all, the conversation does need to occur where both the patient and the doctor are discussing the value of the PSA, that's the test, and to look at what's the number that is popping up, right? And to say, if it's this number, what are we going to do? Because if it's a higher number, that means we probably want to do a biopsy. Are you comfortable with that? And if there are certain medications that will make that number higher, so we have to make sure we have the conversation about that too. So it is basically a blood test that you get, and then from there, you're already discussing what are the next steps if it's a high load, and that takes away a lot of the anxiety that we normally have.
Yeah. So what are some of the signs and symptoms to watch for if, you know, you're concerned that you might have prostate cancer?
One, if you're concerned about it because you have a family history or a friend had it, go speak to a doctor. That's one. Two, look for yourself if you're having more frequent or painful urination. If you have blood in the urine or in semen, if you're having problems with erectile dysfunction, sometimes it's later and you're having pain in the hips, back, or chest. If, unfortunately, that's when things have already spread. So that's why we want to have that test early. So that's not when we're finding out.
And what are some of the key risk factors for prostate cancer?
So, of course, age. Most cases are occur after the age of 50. Being an African American male, high risk and likely to have an aggressive form of cancer. I mentioned the family history, especially a father or a brother. Also, having a high dairy intake can increase your risk.
Really?
And it's diet does matter. Obesity can lead more aggressive cancers and recurrences. So, things that we normally can do, we can control our diet and our weight, it can actually help us.
You know what? The more you talk, it's like I'm just trying to figure out ways for guys to get to the doctor. You know, I'm thinking about, okay, this is information that's very, very helpful and makes guys think. But also, I always say, you know, if you go online to Google or you go to look up where you can find more information, that sometimes makes guys say, okay, I'm prepared for this. I can go in there and either not be afraid or I'm not as concerned, or I can be concerned, but I know if I'm ahead of it that I don't have that much to worry about. Does it help to do your homework and do your research?
Yes, it does, because a lot of times once you do your research, you're going to probably have really good questions to ask your doctor. So ideally, that's what you want to do. You just want to make sure you're getting the information from a reliable source.
Yes.
So, for our UnitedHealthcare members, of course, we'll recommend UHC.com or, your own health plan's site, because, different payers, different insurance companies, and different opportunities. But going and having those early opportunities to read up on your own and understand it in a way that makes sense to you. And if it doesn't, that's the great opportunity to ask your doctor, what does this mean? What am I supposed to be doing with this information? How do I avoid this?
What screenings are available for prostate cancer? What types of screenings?
So I mentioned the PSA blood test. There's the digital rectal exam also. That's the one that I mentioned that is not as common because it's lost favor with a lot of folks. And those are the main ones, believe it or not. Once, if you have a high PSA, then we get into the other areas, including biopsies and other areas.
I've heard, now I don't know if this is going on in Texas or in different parts of the United States. I've heard that there might even be a way that you can send in a blood sample. In other words, you can have, it's almost like Uber Eats or DoorDash. You can send a blood test in. Is that available nowadays, or is something I'm not thinking right? I heard some misinformation.
No, technically, you don't need to go to the doctor's office really to get your blood drawn. You can actually go to Quest or other LabQuest, and there's all these other
Okay.
labs. And when I would practice medicine in my clinic in the what I call the old days, I'd make sure my patients got their blood work early, as in 2 weeks before they saw me. What that allowed me to do was when they came in, we went over the blood test together. We went over that information together. So they got their answers directly from me and not waiting for a phone call.
Ah, that makes sense. That makes sense. It's like, yeah, I got you. Because then you can talk about where you are on the results of the blood test so far.
Yes. And we all get a little bit of anxiety and, having a conversation with the doctor, patients, especially men, fear being vulnerable, right? But we're all human. Eventually, we're all going to get impacted. I mentioned my challenge with even, having to get readers, but we're all human, so we're all going to get something. Might as well have an honest conversation to say, how do I optimize my health? And really have that good discussion. I mentioned the mental health part before. Sometimes the stigma still exists, and men don't want to talk about depression, don't want to talk about their stress. But as I mentioned earlier, it has a profound effect on their health. So being open to have those conversations and in a polite way, not treating yourself with alcohol as your antidepressant.
Exactly. And in fact, sometimes you when you know the information about yourself, it's also a relief. It can be a relief as opposed to a hidden fear, a hidden concern. In other words, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. And if you know there's a fear of going to the doctor's office, well, just step up and then find out it wasn't as bad as you thought it was going to be.
Well, absolutely, because that's always the fun part when you're done with the exam and everything. The patient here goes, "That's it. That's all that was needed to be done." Yeah,
Okay, when it,
you don't think it hard.
yeah. Okay, so when it comes to prostate cancer, are there any lifestyle changes that can help reduce the risk?
So we mentioned the fact that the risk factors include diet, high in dairy intake, obesity. So eating a diet rich in fruits, vegetables, whole grains, limiting the amount of red meat and high fat dairy, exercising. We mentioned the fact that many men are now looking at looking good,
Yeah, they're
exercising
working on it.
regularly. Aren't we all? And maintaining a healthy weight, avoid smoking and limiting alcohol, and getting enough vitamin D. In a prior world, the only person that ever gets enough vitamin D technically is a lifeguard because they're in the sun all day. So we have to supplement that one. But getting that tested will also be part of the office visit.
And do you have any tips on how patients can take advantage of their health benefits?
So when it comes down to your health benefits, many of insurance companies have extra benefits for the patient. So a lot of these wellness visits and all these screening tests, they come at no cost to the patient. So getting your flu shot, your pneumonia vaccine set up. Some even have gym memberships, nutrition counseling, even mental health support. Even if you are using or want to use the things like a Calm app, those are also covered at least for the UnitedHealth members. And is also, depending on what you have, help with groceries and transportation. So it's really going to be relevant for the patient to check their plan's website to make sure and really look at all the rich benefits that they may have that they're not using, because it's
Exactly.
all theirs to be used.
Exactly. I mean, look over your health benefits so you can maximize the value of it. And are you got any final advice for listeners? Because again, your information has just been outstanding.
So first thing, don't wait. Early detection saves lives. And it's probably going to involve less invasive testing if we do it early enough. Make it a priority, right? We always prioritize others. Men should be prioritizing this visit for themselves. Talk to your doctor about risks and screening options that exist. And of course, you can always go to UnitedHealthcare's websites for other resources that you may want to utilize.
He is Dr. Anoop Sharma, the Chief Medical Officer, UnitedHealthcare, Medicare, and Retirement. And again, guys, do not have a fear of going to the doctor's office. That could be the biggest change you can make in your life. Just overcoming that fear, whether it's prostate cancer, whether it's kidney disease, whether it's, like you said, readers, anything that you think that you need to do, you need to be aggressive and stay ahead of it. Be proactive. Am I wrong?
Absolutely. You hit that right perfectly right there. That's it.
That's it, exactly. Well, Dr. Sharma, we appreciate you being on the show. I got to have you on again real soon because your information is so sound and so solid, and we really want to thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. Everybody stay safe and sound, and so long, everybody.